Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 703,
Predator 6?
But I'm saying it in my head, P-R-A-Y.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
That's yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a very different movie.
I thought it was an MC Hammer biopic. I was really confused.
I mean, the amount of musical biopics are happening right now, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, Weird Al's getting one,
which is just
I can't
insane.
Wait for that.
Like that
Roku
one
channel
looks,
original.
Yeah, that's yeah. Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll finally get somebody to watch that.
I know that may be the one because Roku channel has all the Quibi stuff. They bought all
that
Quibi.
All
the Quibi content went there, but they made it widescreen and like a normal, you know, because Quibi was made to watch on your phone vertically.
Right. So they did shoot it.
They shot it in widescreen.
So it could
formatted
be.
It. And
okay.
They have them all originally in widescreen.
Boy, I would bet it would look weird in widescreen.
That's what I'm saying.
Because everything was framed to be just dead center.
Right.
Just a lot of scenery.
Right. Yeah.
just a lot of extra stuff on the sides.
But people that love symmetry are just wilding out about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's all Wes Anderson watches.
I was going to say, it's a Kubrick, Wes Anderson
watches.
Sometimes, though, because of that, like, we watched Friends. I watch sitcoms with my son, so we just pound through them. So we,
sure.
You know, and so we were doing Friends because he needs to see the classics.
Of course.
And, and there are times when, because it wasn't originally intended to air widescreen, you can see things that you're not supposed to see.
Oh.
Like, you can see, like, the edge of the set, or you can see that, like, one of them wasn't there that day, and they use, like, a body double for Phoebe.
Oh, that's so weird.
Central Perk. You got to, like, really kind of, like, know to look for it, but it...
That's interesting.
But it there are some interesting...
Didn't they do that with
up.
The Simpsons? Wasn't that the one of the things with the Simpsons is they?
Well, no, they
tried to take the early episodes and make them 16:9.
That's what
but
it
they
was,
but
yeah.
They didn't stretch them. They cropped them.
And they cropped
right,
famous
right.
Visual gags, yeah. Sight gags,
and now it's all fixed.
Yeah.
4:3
is the way to watch it. You do not watch the early Simpsons.
I have those on DVD. So,
yeah.
And given what's happening with digital services, I made the right call.
Yeah.
Me and Tom are sweating over here.
I feel like Vudu's pretty safe.
I
think
know.
It's big enough that someone would acquire it. And
I feel like it is too, but when Sony started pulling purchases from the PlayStation Store in Germany and Austria, which I know, but it's like they bought that stuff too.
Right.
It's Sony, so it's like...
Yeah, no, that is, it's a little disconcerting.
You know,
But I think if they tried it on 2 grand of a scale, there would just be a massive class action.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So
big
they got to, you know,
they'll
be concerned about that.
Yeah.
So... I want to start the episode with some some sad news. We don't normally do sad news.
Right. Okay.
But and I'm being serious. I know it's hard to tell when I'm being serious. But
should we introduce ourselves so they know who we are?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
It's been a while. Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom there. Now everybody knows who we are.
So, though, given our voices and the recent comments on some of our posts, I'm not sure they do know who we are. Because people think you're you and I'm me, or you're me and
I'm
you.
I am me.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly it.
What?
Yeah.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah. Basically, if it's something that's, you know, cancelable,
it's me.
Joe said it.
Thank you.
If it's something old. Really old, it's me.
Fair enough.
Like I was explaining to people on Twitter the other day, that you post, I'm pointing to Kevin, you can't tell because it's a podcast, but you posted a GIF from
Jaws.
Yes.
Where he crushes the beer can. And I was like, I don't think younger people realize it used to be really hard to crush a beer.
They were metal.
They were metal.
Yeah.
They were metal.
That's Quint having that old man strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Like nowadays, in Animal House, it's the same thing. When they're crushing them on their heads, you're like, ha, ha, ha. And it's like, no, dude. Those were metal beer
doing that
cans.
In 2022, whatever. That was in 1980?
That's pre-Pop Tops. Right. Like you had to have a utensil to open a beer can.
Oh, sure.
Maybe not in the 70s, but definitely in the time Animal House was set.
Yeah.
I know it was filmed in the 70s, but it's set.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, definitely. The whole key.
Yeah, like you're probably not old enough to remember the Pop Tops used to actually pop off.
No, yeah.
And then like people would just chuck them on the ground if you were walking around barefoot, like at the boat or something. Yes. And they'd just be all over the place.
That was definitely. I remember I was not allowed to walk around barefoot.
Yeah.
Depending
the
on where
Pop
I was.
Pop Tops that stayed on the can was like. That was a game changer.
Revolutionary.
Yes. So, anyway, sad news. Friend of the show, Mark Jackson, has passed away.
Oh, dang.
And the reason I bring him up here is because he designed the Real Spoilers logo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy who makes the logo that you see in your feed every week.
That's right.
I was wondering what was going
on.
Yeah,
like,
him.
And you might remember a couple years back, we posted in the group, but he had epilepsy real bad, and it was really taking a toll on him from a cognitive standpoint. And then he had moved to Arkansas to live with some distant relatives, and I had a number for him, and then he stopped texting back, and I was like, oh, no.
Right.
But I didn't know the family to contact, and then you can't Google the name Mark Jackson.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, and it doesn't help. I think there's an NBA player named Mark Jackson. So, so I found out, like, through a friend of a friend of a friend, listener of the show, Jen Kramer was nice enough. I think that's how you say your last name. Was nice enough to reach out to let me know because I had no clue.
Yeah.
And so I thank you so much for doing that. And so anyway, I just, you know, I was friends with the guy for, 35 years.
Oh, dang.
Something
okay.
like that. Like I couldn't tell you how many concerts we had seen together.
Limitless.
Like, yeah. I mean, because he was a big Kansas fan. I was a big Monkees fan. So like we would always drag each other to Kansas.
I was like, how does that correlate? But all right.
Yeah. Like it's like I like Kansas.
Sure.
I probably seen Kansas literally like 15 times only because of Mark Jackson because it was his favorite band. And, you know, and he ended up going to see the Monkees a bunch because of me. And so and then we actually found out we met in a comic book store. I was working the counter and he came in and we just got to talking and we figured out like a year later that we had actually met at a concert. We both went to go see the band America and we were talking in the lobby.
Okay.
And we were like, wait, were you like,
that's kind of
yeah,
cool.
It was
that's pretty cool.
So,
that's pretty cool.
But he was very talented, a really nice guy. It was sad to see,
the
toll
that
took on him
and to his family.
Yeah. And
not that they may not listen, but
well,
still.
I mean, he didn't have a lot. Like both of his parents had passed, and he had a sister who died years ago.
Oh,
so
okay.
He didn't have any like immediate family. So, so anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that, especially since he's connected to the show. He designed.
He's been a part, part of the show from day one.
Real Spoilers logo.
That's right. That's right.
And he was kind enough to not even charge us.
DIY, and we got lucky enough that he took care of it. And
yeah. So
that's where we stuck.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, so not to
that's
be...
All. I mean,
rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yes. So
sorry to hear that.
Anyway, should I go into shameless plugs?
Sure, why not?
Sure, shameless plugs. Have they ever been more shameless? No, they have not.
Well, in the memory of Mark Jackson,
we'll
dedicate the
shameless plugs to Mark Jackson. So he would appreciate
he would
it.
Wanted I'm sure it that
he
way.
Would. Yeah, that's would, how he would like
he
it.
He would find that funny. I assure. I mean, he was my friend for 35 years. He couldn't be my friend for that long without having that kind of sense
right.
of humor. So I assure you, he would find it funny. So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find us, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. Wherever you find us, you can find a podcast. It works both ways. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping maybe you'll share an episode with a friend. People who were kind enough to share an episode over the past 2 weeks, because I was out last week because I was on a cruise.
And I don't know what I'm doing.
And
so.
These two were too lazy to do it. So here we go. Heather Sachs, Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers. Wait. Tammy Lynn Powers Betts.
That's a different one.
Because she got married.
Oh, congratulations.
So congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so congrats on that. And so that's now how we have the Brad Heimer rule. Now we have the Tammy Lynn Powers Betts rule,
okay.
Which is if you get married and your name changes that week, we do both.
Okay, I like it. I
yeah,
like it. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
It's the anti-Brad Heimer rule.
Yeah, it's the anti-Brad Brad Heimer rule. And you deserve the extra, right? Because she got married and she still found time to share an episode.
That's fair.
So if
that's
you
fair.
Haven't shared an episode yet and you listen, what's your excuse?
I had COVID.
Quick answer, none.
None.
But the challenge is, see, you have to be a guest on the show the week before you get married, share it, and then you still get to have your old name read because...
That's your old name.
You know,
yeah,
you just
that's
have
the anti-Brad Iron
no.
rule. Yeah.
No, wait, then it's just the Brad Iron rule.
Mm. I'm thinking through. Chris Magic Man, Chris Balls, Travis Tewitt, Glenn Cougar Mellenbrewer, Douglas Baldick, Ralph Tribble, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, David Rojas, Brad 1991. I checked. It's not.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
wait. It's or is it Braid? I don't know if I typed it wrong or I don't know.
I know Brad's trying to sneak one in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronnie Castle, Chris Wilson, Colby Mack, Geek to Be Radio, Invasion of the Rigmay, Binge Movies, Averting the Brad Hyen Rule because you took a week off from doing League of Show Sharers, so he wouldn't have gotten read last week, right?
Right.
But since he shared the following week's episode.
Yes.
And we had to do two at once. He gets to sneak in.
Smooth.
And we get to irritate Brad Hyen.
which is just the best.
Always a blast. Nostalgia Cast.
But you didn't read his name, did you?
Jason from Binge Movies.
Well, it's just Binge Movies.
Okay.
But that he uses that
yeah.
as his
yeah,
sole
yeah,
account.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, Nostalgia Cast, Mike, and Oscar, In Session Film, Randy Schulman, Matt Neglia, Galactic Ditto. I can't tell you how close I came. I caught my own mistake. I thought for a hot second. I actually typed it.
I know you did.
Galactic Dildo.
That's exactly where I went
and,
with it.
And so...
Sorry.
And now I'm hoping... Now I've got to go see if there is a Galactic Dildo.
If not, trademark Real Spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elle is not well. No relation to the Galactic Dildo. That's just... She's just not well. Feel and Film, Ryan Terry from the Force of Crowd podcast, Vertigay 314, Real Recon, Spoiler Piece Theater, Batman Rye Guy, Crooked Table Productions, Minorities Report, ATL Bone and Bread, Chris Williams. Did I read that one? No, I don't think so. Banji 85.
Man, we're on a roll.
Piecing It Together podcast, The Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast, and that's it because the last one I typed twice. So,
all right.
So
sweet.
There. There's all.
Whew, that's a lot.
That is
give
a
me a break.
I do. I'm going to go take a nap. So
before we get started, I think the it would
talk
be
about Patreon.
Oh yeah,
we got a Patreon. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content, and we love you long time.
That's right. And there'll be we've got, what have we got? Evil Dead 1 is up.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2's coming.
And Evil Army of Darkness was recorded, and that'll be up in a little bit. And then we're gonna do the remake here next week. I feel like it'd be remiss if we didn't. You know, we haven't been in the room in a while, and there's been some wackadoo news coming out of a certain company that may or may not produce comic book movies anymore. I have no idea.
We're going to keep doing it.
It's so
there's
obviously
one company you can trust for a solid yeah. comic book movie franchise and property. It's DC Comics and their parent company.
And they've gotten rid of that title because it's just DC.com now. They've gotten rid of the comics altogether. What a crazy.
But the C stands for comics.
I get DC Comics comics. Yeah. Yes. what a crazy week where a movie, the Batgirl movie starring Leslie Grace
Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen. Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Has
Leslie
been
Ann Warren?
She was almost Lois Lane.
Okay.
Yeah. Leslie Mann?
That would have been great as well.
Leslie Manfield?
Who's that?
That's someone.
Oh.
Somewhere.
Somewhere, sure, that's true. Yeah. But like you take a movie that is almost done, completely done, and you're just like, nope.
It's weird, man.
I've never seen that.
Well, I mean, it's $90 million is the estimated budget with COVID reshoots.
Oh,
sure, it was originally budgeted to 70. It shot up to 90. It's in post-production, but I believe it is wrapped on filming. Now they may have to do reshoots. So
no, they don't.
But exactly. So that's the thing, is that the new guy that came in, the Discovery guy? They came in, yeah, and is now the head of Warner, is going through and just cutting things left and right that do not scream instant profit,
yeah,
or do not fit into whatever the plan they think they're going to make for DC is. Someone finally said it, though. The guy actually said, we're going to map a 10-year plan inspired by the likes of Kevin Feige. So, like, they're finally, after this long,
so what,
2013 now?
The beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that's how long it's been.
It took them to go, maybe we should do that, Kevin Feige. We always said it, right?
We've said
they have the roadmap right there.
Yeah. And every other studio has tried to copy it, right? You had the Dark Universe thing.
And we've always said that they wanted it now.
Right.
And Marvel built up to it. And I don't even know if Marvel was savvy enough to. They just didn't have a choice.
But they had their B-tier or even C-tier characters. And they're like, all right, we got to do something. Let's try this.
But they slow walked it. They didn't try to be like, we put out one superhero movie and now there's a team.
Right.
Like they, you know, and here's a movie where we're introducing 19 superheroes simultaneously. It's like, by the time you got to Avengers, you knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't need to see 15 origin stories for this movie to make sense.
And you knew what the threat was.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like they've canceled the Batgirl show, the movie, the Gotham Knights show that never really got off the ground, but I think that's done. Flash.
Scooby-Doo movie that was already done. It was with the young kids.
Was it animated or was that
it was a sequel to Scoob?
Oh, okay. Scoob was fine.
Yeah, out of all of them, that's the one that mystifies me the most.
It was done, like, the producer said it was basically done, and they loved it, and they're basically just taking tax write-offs for stuff.
Especially because Scooby-Doo has always existed as, like, they do two or three seasons, and then they scrap it, or scrappy it.
They scrappy-doo.
And they start it over.
Right.
You know,
and just
so
reboot it.
They've been doing that for decades.
You
now
don't need continuity in Scooby-Doo.
If you search Scooby-Doo on HBO Max, it's ridiculous.
Oh, there's millions of those straight to
not even
videos.
Straight to, but there's like multiple different
shows.
Well,
there's
sure.
Scoob and Me.
But
I mean,
there's like 70 movies.
When I was at Blockbuster, those things rented.
They do great business.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's just sad that they're doing. So this guy apparently is big on reality shows, and Discovery has a ton of these reality shows.
Yeah, because I want to watch a movie with the guys from.
But they're cheap and they make money.
Right.
And that's what they brought them in to do.
But this guy,
I've heard rumors that they might stop calling it HBO Max and they're just going to go with the Discovery brand.
Yeah.
Think they said that by next year, they're going to have the apps merged. And HBO Max is the best app out there.
If you look at the customer, like,
it does have 90 something percent satisfaction.
Like the customer satisfaction rate is like 97%.
It just is. It's the best streaming app out there.
It's easily searchable. I agree.
So this guy's coming into clean house. He's doing it for the stockholders. But the thing is, he's getting rid of scripted content for reality crap. And I mean, that's fine if you like that stuff. Tom, I know you watch some reality shows.
It doesn't have to be either.
But
order,
I don't want
right?
to get rid like, of scripted content.
Yeah, like I mean, yes, I watch some really lowbrow reality television, like Love After Lock Up.
F-Boy Island,
Chef's Kiss, right? Like that show's just it's hot mess. I still watch Teen Mom.
Sure.
I just because you know when you're going through your DVR and you're like you know, oh, I guess you know, let's do a Dr. Phil. I can be like, well, let's do a Teen Mom. That's fun.
It's easy.
That joke never gets old.
No.
Yeah. But I also watch the other things too.
Sure.
Right? Like it's not.
Yeah. We don't want just reality shows. And so it's sad because, you know, going through and looking at the list of HBO Max originals.
They pulled a bunch of streaming only titles too.
That's confused
really
me
weird.
Because they own them, right?
Right?
Like they didn't license American Pickle. They paid to have it produced.
And I guess
it's
one thing
it.
To like pull it and then make room for something else and then bring it back. But I, like, do you even need to make room for something else anymore? Is that
even
a thing?
You don't need to make room, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
think so. It makes no sense. But if you think about it, like, we've gotten some really good HBO Max originals. One of them is that Station 11 was
amazing. But that was intended to be one and done. Did they pull that, though?
Oh, no, no. What I mean is that if they stop making scripted content, we're not going to get great.
I see.
I mean, Station 11 was one of the greatest things I watched in the past year. That show was incredible.
It was really good.
And there's Tokyo Vice.
Yeah, that's one I wanted to watch.
You've got, I mean, there's a whole bunch of
Sex Life of College Girls is really good.
That's one of them.
It's a horrible title because you just feel so pervy
right.
when you're like, let's watch this. But it's actually really funny.
But
okay,
Our Flag Means Death, which was renewed for a second season, but Raised by Wolves, that was the
Ridley Scott one.
That was a snooze.
Snooze fest.
I gave up after three episodes.
I got through the first season. I was like, I'm done.
The Flight Attendant with Kaley Cuoco. Peacemaker is an HBO Max original.
They said that's safe, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying these are getting canceled, especially if they're already renewed, but my point is, if this guy's not greenlighting original content,
right.
scripted content, look at all the shows.
Right.
Quality shows you could miss out on. So
well, and that's if I'm Paramount, if I'm Apple, if I'm Disney, I'm just like, okay, so you're not gonna have it, which is fine. Bring that over here, like bring it over to our stuff, and you know, and I don't subscribe to Paramount. Like that's really the only one I don't use.
I think me too. It's
but like the Disney, I mean. Disney at this point, I don't really think are doing original programming as much as like, hey, we got a Star Wars show, we got a Marvel show, we got this.
But that's still original programming.
But you're not getting like
not
a Ted
new
Lasso.
IPs.
You're not getting, you
it's
know
not
what
new
mean?
IPs.
Sure.
Ted Lasso wasn't a new IP, just for the record.
What do you mean?
It's based on a commercial.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, that show is brilliant.
Really it is good. A great show, oh but it was God, it's
so
based
good.
On a series
when
of
you
commercials.
Get that, you know, I saw that ending for season two coming, but when it happens, you're like, you mother.
Yeah.
But no, like if HBO, which I feel like has always been the standard bearer for original programming, scripted programming for a long time, I would say going back to The Sopranos.
They created
right? the Sopranos.
It as a pay cable network to have premium.
No,
stuff.
Before The Sopranos, you had Oz and The Wire.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So, okay. So, even going back even further, right?
Well, they're
like,
the
place. They were setting the standard.
But this guy's Discovery. That's the problem. He doesn't care about home box office. He cares about 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know the shows, but he cares about this reality stuff because, like you said, you follow people around with a camera. That's your budget.
Right.
And it sucks, though, because, I mean, that's fine if you want to watch that, but look at the list of shows we named. And those are scripted content.
Top tier shows.
Incredible content on HBO Max. So it's sad. And I, you know, he's a numbers guy. So, it may be good for the stock, but people, if they're going to jump ship, like, non-reality people, they're going to be like, well,
think that, like, then what does that mean for HBO? You're kind of damaging the HBO brand leave it called HBO. And if you just have HBO be a cable station, like, you might as well make them a radio channel.
What's the point?
Like, right, you know, you're putting them in the dustbin of history.
Yeah, you're putting it in the words of Toy Story, you're going up on the top shelf.
Yeah.
That sucks to buy HBO and then get rid of it, basically, you know?
Which is just insane. Like, I mean, it's the oldest one, right? It's the oldest, like, premium cable channel, right? Or was like Showtime?
It was the first one.
I think HBO was
first.
It was the first one.
They all copied HBO.
Yeah, which is just bonkers. Yeah. So if they are going to scrap the DC... And it sounds like, I mean, Jim Lee said at Comic-Con, like, the Snyderverse is gone, but we've still got all these other movies that are tied.
So there's an upside.
Yeah, right. It is insane. I mean, I guess if you look at the money, right, like, Batgirl was only $90 million. The Flash is $200 million.
But they haven't scrapped The Flash.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
crazy.
I think it's insane. That's I think the fact that as soon as that movie goes out, everything that's going on with, you can bleep me on this, for brains. Like, it's going to come out. It's going to be front and center. You're going to get zero. Whether the movie's good or not, you're going to get zero good press.
I don't think they care.
People may not care, but the stories that are going to be coming out are when movie comes out.
But why do people not care about him, but they care about Kevin Spacey? Or the guy who sells timeshares in the Caribbean now.
Which is just talk about him.
You know, I think they know stuff we don't about Ezra Miller. And I can't help but think that when it all comes out, like, there's like a psychotic break happening. It's not just a personality flaw that the guy, like,
oh, for sure.
That I think they're hoping that people will be more willing to turn a blind eye to it because they'll be able to sell the idea
of, it was
like,
a mental health break.
Like, this guy had a severe mental health crisis.
They're a person, too, not a guy.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right, I was right, using right. guy in the gender neutral sense. We're all guys. Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Yeah. But, you know, that they had a severe mental health.
Well, certainly.
I could definitely see that being a spin.
The signs are all there. That is definitely what's happening. So hopefully they get help and figure this out, because right now they're driving around the country with a bulletproof vest
and a gun.
And a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Thinking that the FBI and other organizations are tailing them.
Yeah.
So
yikes.
It's clearly.
So if you were to reboot it, who do you start with?
They've already got it.
Adam to me is the reboot,
I guess, but I think the Batman is their universe.
I hear you.
They see the box office, they see the quality, Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson, all that's there. They've got the Penguin show in development. I think
maybe
that's your new DCEU.
Maybe.
And then they branch off that.
I think it's difficult to slide a Superman into that world.
I think so too.
It's
difficult to slide any superpower.
Right, the Batman works because it doesn't have other things that it needs to attach to. I think it's going to be, I think that's going to be the struggle. I'm not saying it can't be done.
Yeah,
but to try and there's no superhero supernatural element to this world of the Batman we've seen. It's very, you know, detective driven, which is good. But it also makes it a lot harder to have connective tissue to these more outlandish concepts.
I agree.
And so, like, I think that's going to be the struggle there.
I think if it were me, I would take Black Adam, which you've already got bits and pieces of the Justice Society, and then go from there. Let Black Adam be your reboot, and then go however you need to go.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we'll see.
See, I think it makes sense to start with Superman because he's got a foot in both worlds. He can have that, you know, quote unquote realistic aspect, but he has superpowers. But the problem is they've gone to that well so damn many times
and messed it up.
So to try to do it again seems
to me, I would do Black Adam and then let Superman be your Nick Fury, where we've run it up. You know, Black Adam is now in the present day. End of that movie is Superman coming to Black Adam, be like, look, we need some help, and you might be the guy to help us in this whatever the situation is, and then go from there.
Well, that's definitely why The Flash has been delayed. Whatever happens in The Flash, if it releases, I think will lead us into what actually is going to be.
Maybe.
They have to keep delaying it to figure out how they're going to reboot this thing. But my money is on, just for the record, I think the Batman will be their starting point, because this guy is a big theatrical guy. And he sees the success of that Batman and the quality of it. And that's the other thing, is he's scrapping TV stuff. He's scrapping Batgirl because it's a TV movie.
It feels like it's all the extra DC, the extra universes are kind of we're getting rid
but
of all of that.
See, the Flash is staying because it's theatrical. This guy wants theatrical because it makes money. TV streaming doesn't make money. You get subscribers, but you know what I mean? You're loss leading there and whatever. He wants movie comes out, $1 billion. Movie, you know, whatever. Right. And reality shows cost nothing. Put those on streaming. There's nowhere in the middle for this prestige television, which we've grown so accustomed to, and it's excellent. But he wants to see the immediate bottom line of release money.
Interesting.
We'll see what happens, but it doesn't look good over there.
No, it does not.
So anyway, Prey, now that we're 30 minutes in.
Who knew that Dan Trachtenberg, we did 10 Cloverfield Lane, which we all love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Which
movie's
is a brilliant
phenomenal.
Movie.
Brilliant might be a little, but
I thought it was pretty brilliant,
but it was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
They somehow made you forget that it was a Cloverfield movie until the last 30 minutes, 10 minutes. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is a Cloverfield.
Because it wasn't even titled that at first, right? Like, no one knew it was a Cloverfield movie, and then they attached it to try to market.
Is that
it
what
or
it
whatever.
Was?
Yeah,
it originally was going to be a total
the bunker
secret
or something.
Yeah, no one knew it was, and then all of a sudden they called it 10 Cloverfield, and you're like, oh, huh.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
And then the entire time you're watching it, you're not entirely sure that it is a Cloverfield movie until she drives away, and you're like, oh well, okay. The Predator franchise is weird. Like, it's a weird franchise, right? So I think one is the one of the greatest action movies ever made. It's a great bait and switch, because then it turns into a monster movie in the last 30 minutes. And then, all of the other ones are not as great. I like Predator 2. Predator 2 is a fun, weird movie.
It was a difficult sell, especially back then, the idea of we're not going to bring anybody back.
Right.
It's going to have a totally different vibe.
Yep.
It's, you know,
like Danny Glover.
Yeah, like that was very weird, and it was hard to convey to people what they were trying to do, so it just felt like a cash grab.
Yes. And then of course the big takeaway from that is like that's where you see the alien skull, which is the big thing. And then Predators? Is that the third one? Did they wait that long before
there was an Alien versus Predator.
They're
out there.
You're right. Alien, AVP and AVP are both out there, and they are not good. Then the Predators with Adrian Brody.
The Predator, yeah.
No, that's the Predators. The Predator was...
What?
No, it's Predators, because that's the name of that movie, because they are the... They're hunting. Either way, there's a group of
but
them.
The
in that
Predator
one.
Is Adrian Brody.
No.
No?
The Predator is the Shane Black one. So Predator 1987 is Predator. Predator 2, AVP, AVPR, Predators with an S is the Adrian Brody one.
Okay.
And then The Predator is the Shane Black one that we have done on this show that is not good.
Okay.
Maybe I'll rewatch it. Like maybe it's, I don't think it's probably aged well.
They were both
bad
then. Yeah. Predators isn't bad. Both,
but we had our hopes up for the Shane Black one.
Yes. Yeah. And then The Predator was bad. And now here we are with a movie. Again, Dan Trachtenberg, who has figured this out. Like, we're not going to call it by the original title. We're going to give you a different name. But this is the very, I guess it's the very first time that the Predator species has come to Earth and decided to hunt on Earth.
Well, we have no reason to know it's the first time.
That's true.
I mean, we would have thought after the first Predator movie that was the first time, right? Like
I guess you could just keep going back and making prequels. No,
but I think the thought process is that the Predator, they go to different planets and try to find the biggest, baddest enemy to fight, you know, and for the hunt. And so I think the reason why they keep coming back to Earth in these sequels, we're led to believe now, is because they found an actual match on Earth, and that's why they keep coming back. I do think this is the first time, and that's why Earth is always the setting, because they're like, well, this is where the hunt is. We got to go to Earth.
This is where you go to prove.
Yes.
And sometimes you come
kumite
back.
Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the parallels that run between the two stories. I love the way it's set up.
This is very much it is a remake, sort of the first one. Like, the plot points are kind of the same.
Sure.
But that's okay. Yeah. You know, like, and I think this is a
soft reboot.
This is a crazy good movie.
This movie is freaking awesome.
I loved this. This has taken the number two spot for me. Like, the first one will always be the first one.
Yeah, sure. I think if you take nostalgia aside, I think this may be the best one. But
I think the
first
one looks better. Oh.
I think this movie's gorgeous. The cinematography in this
is
freaking... Well, I did not have any problems. That was your laptop.
I had my brightness cranked full
I watched on my 4K UHD TV and never had one dark scene I couldn't tell.
What's that?
What scene was that where it was that dark?
If the grizzly bear scene,
if
the closed captions didn't say bear growls, I would have had no idea what was going on.
No, I saw that.
Every time it went to night, it was virtually impossible for me to see.
That's so weird.
I promise you, that did not happen one time, because I watched it after you showed us that. Not one scene was dark like that.
Yeah,
so that was
deal.
The computer or whatever.
And it's a computer. It's in front of you. It's an LG.
No,
it's
I get it, but that did not
happen. I wonder
happen.
If it was like a weird...
I even went and adjusted my brightness to max brightness because it was so... I couldn't see.
Could you see anything at all?
A little bit. I mean, I did cherry pick the absolute worst part to complain about, but it was. I had a lot of trouble seeing the night scenes.
Okay. No. So this is like we said. It's the first. We assume it's the first time a predator has come to Earth.
They drop them off. It really is.
It's a good bait and switch.
Yeah. And there's two parallel stories that run throughout the entire thing. So you have the Native Americans, who the whole cast is Native American.
It's great.
It's fantastic representation, and it is in, 1719?
1719.
And so...
The Great Plains, I think, is what it said.
The Great North Plains.
There it is, yeah.
So you've got the time period, you have the indigenous people who are there before other people start coming, and so it's interesting because they start dropping little clues that they're not the only ones there, but I love how they don't just spell it out. They drop little clues. Bear trap. The dog gets his tail stuck in a bear trap.
Which, like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, so if we're dealing with, like, a primitive predator,
right?
It could track that.
Well, I think they want you to think the primitive predator has stuff laid out, but if you look at the time period, you think about who else is in North America, So I love that, but they don't just show you, right?
No.
And so it's like we're used to human versus predator, and I love there's a third party out there, and
now it's human versus predator versus animals. Like it's, there's all kinds of
it's a food chain.
It is a food chain. So our main character, she's kind of
Naru.
Say it again.
Naru. Played by Amber Midthunder, who's amazing.
What a great name.
Yeah.
That's an amazing...
Well, and her brother, played by Dakota Beavers, he was badass.
Come on. Like, mid...
I mean, these are native...
Midthunder is pretty dope.
Their names are awesome, though. It really... They're, you've got Michelle Thrush, plays the mother. You have the chief, Julian Black Antelope is his, the actor's name.
Yeah.
But these are, again, for representation.
That's
when you're making this about the Native Americans, the indigenous people... They
you have
used,
to hire Native Americans.
They did. They did it right, which is so refreshing because you know how many movies for forever didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually hired a real alien to play the Predator.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they killed him too.
Yeah. Very authentic. I like the fact that they had them speak English, that they didn't go the subtitle route.
I was kind of worried that was
like,
what we were going to do.
Dear.
I was like, oh no.
And I also like the fact that they didn't have them speak. They basically had him speak in modern English, right?
It wasn't broken English.
They didn't do this broken English.
Yeah.
But it creates other problems, right? Like, so when the French show up and then they're speaking to each other in English, it's like, I just assumed, like, they're talking to each other in Comanche, but we're going to say it in English because, you know,
American.
It's a better business model
than to make a movie recorded
entirely in Comanche dialogue.
It...
But so then when the French show up,
now
sometimes. They're both speaking to each other in English. Now I'm like, well, then where did the Comanche learn the English? And how come the French have accents, but the Comanches don't?
Well, I really
did. Wait, did you get subtitles for the French?
The French was subtitled in French.
Because you're supposed to be confused like the character is because the characters can't speak French.
Yeah.
So I know.
Okay.
But they didn't translate it for the subtitles.
Okay.
It's still
you're
in
not,
French.
I love that when movies do that. When the character doesn't know what the other people are saying,
you
shouldn't know what the other people are saying. It puts you in their spot. No, I think it's just a movie thing for business. Like you said, I do think they're speaking Comanche and I think the French speak Comanche. It's just they're all.
French are speaking Comanche as well?
Yeah. I think that they're all speaking Comanche, but when we hear English, it's actually Comanche. That's to explain
I think you're giving those French folks the benefit. Are you thinking
we speak a lot of languages, and so I think
they do.
He said I speak a lot.
Yeah,
of languages.
Yeah.
Because
the other
people don't know Comanche or English; they're speaking French.
Okay,
it's just him. He's their translator.
Sure.
So I think that he has learned Comanche from dealing with the indigenous people as they're there. So
that makes sense.
And so I do think it's a way to just for the audience to not have to read subtitles, not have I personally wish it were in Comanche, the whole movie. There's a dub of it, but I think it'd be cool because I like subtitles, but I am happy with the way they did it.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty smooth because they start off speaking Comanche, then you hear English, and it's just English the rest of the movie.
So I have one more quibble about the Predator himself.
Okay.
Or his species.
Well, them, we don't know.
Yeah.
God, don't cancel us over predator pronouns.
They've had no technological advancements in 245 years.
Well, no,
sure they have.
So okay,
they shoot blasters now.
Yeah,
by the time we get to
Predator 1987, the first Predator, he's got that shoulder cannon.
Yeah, there's a lot of
he's
advancements.
He's got like the metal mask that's got
visor.
All of the.
He's got a skull in this movie.
Okay.
He's got like
radically.
No. He does. He has the shoulder blaster. He's got
bombs or something.
Yeah, he's got bombs and he's got like the big metal mask that has like the oxygen tubes like attached to it. Remember, like when he pulls it off, it like sprays oxygen everywhere.
This is a very primitive Predator.
I will say that I can't figure out how the cannon works from the helmet that I thought was just bone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that worked.
Well,
when we get to alien technology.
It's tracking technology. So
is that what it is?
Those arrows follow wherever the lasers are. It's laser guided.
Okay.
And the mask, even though it looks like a skull, still has some technology that glows green and is a computerized thing. So it's primitive, but primitive for an alien advanced species. Yeah.
And I will say this is a different looking Predator. He is. And there's actually a really good podcast called The Kingcast. Mm-hmm. And on the most recent episode, they had Dan Trachtenberg on the show to talk about The Raft, actually, which is a pretty good little Stephen King short story. And the Skeleton
Keys. Is that
Scott
Wampler's podcast?
I can't think of the other guy's names.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really good, if you like Stephen King, it's a fantastic podcast.
Oh, The Raft. That's, in Creepshow? Is that the one in Creepshow?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also in the Skeleton Key, I think, is where
I remember reading it. It's way better in the book. I mean, that's so cliche.
Creepshow is also not... Creepshow 2 is not that great.
Yeah, Creepshow, the first one is fun. The second one's pretty bad.
Yeah. Scott Wampler and Eric Vespi.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. But he says, he's like, we slimmed him down, like we slimmed this Predator down a little bit so you can see more... You know, the original one is very bulky, mm-hmm. and it's very, you know, this one is slimmer and it can move around faster and moves differently. Yeah. And it does, like, it's, but the face is different too. Like, mm-hmm. it's not the traditional Predator face that we see all the time. Like, it's always the same one over and over.
It's
so this
close,
guy's got a different, it's close, but this one has a different look, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, they can evolve in 200 years.
Sure,
so
why not? And again, shoulder cannons, you know, I get it. She does not really like her role currently, right? Because it's a traditional role where she is just a gatherer, and she
believes the men do the hunting, right, and the women do the gathering.
And she believes that she can be a hunter, and she kind of she refuses to accept her role. So she's going on hunts with her brother, and there's a first subplot of somebody goes, I guess one of the guys goes missing, one of the men of the tribe goes missing, and they have to go get him. So she kind of tracks the men and sneaks up on them, which I think is pretty good. Like, you think it's a we're in the I'm not going to call it the jungle, but we're in the woods, like we're in the forest, which is again a very cool setting, like to take him out.
These shots, the cinematography in this film is beautiful, gorgeous. The just walking around the landscape, the overhead shots, the drone shots in this movie that follow them from a distance or right overhead going through the forest as they're walking through the trees.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful film. The guy that did the cinematography for this, he was a music video director, I guess director or cinematographer, but whatever. He worked with music videos.
Yeah.
How a lot of directors start because of the visual medium. And so he does great work.
It's a cheap way to test somebody out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, you know. Hey, go make that Katy Perry video. Let's see what you do.
Right.
Yeah. And he's done other films too. So I'm just looking up his name.
I may have just dated myself with a Katy Perry reference. Like, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, like the hottest music videos out
there.
Can you
make
that
Taylor Swift
video?
But I will say, like, on that point, Trachtenberg said they were talking about the score for this, and I was playing the new Assassin's Creed, and I was like, this score is beautiful. So we hired the woman that did the score for Assassin's Creed Ragnarok or Valhalla.
Yeah, Valhalla.
And brought her on, and she did the score for this movie. Like, this
that's cool.
That's which I was
And
like,
I was
yeah,
getting
of
hints of, I don't know if you guys did, but I had recently watched Last of the Mohicans. I was getting hints of that theme throughout.
Oh, I could see
it's
that.
Kind of it's a similar setting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought maybe they threw in a little
maybe
homage or the hints there.
There's
to a that
Predator
one.
Theme, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So the guy that did the cinematography, his name is Jeff Cutter, and I just want to give him credit because this movie is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
He did 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, okay.
He did some of the other stuff that Trachtenberg has done, so clearly they worked together for a while.
I mean, I won't give him a lot of credit for 10 Cloverfield Lane. That was just in a bunker.
Yeah, but you have to make it look interesting.
That's
still
true.
That's the thing, is if you can hold someone's attention.
A lot of
one,
times that's harder.
Yeah, that's
right.
Fair.
Like,
yeah,
so you
yeah.
have to
tight
keep
spaces.
Like, go watch 12 Angry Men. Like,
sure.
It takes place in a room. And it's literally just 12 people talking,
yelling at each other
for 95 minutes. But they keep it visually interesting. Like, go figure.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
And don't forget that Dan Trachtenberg directed the first episode of The Boys.
He did.
And so that set off that show, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And this guy did the cinematography for that too. So,
but we're getting a Waterworld series.
Is that what that is?
Uh-huh. He's.
I saw that on there, but I didn't.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah,
yikes.
Could be really cool.
Why would you call something else Waterworld?
No, I'm sure it is, but it could be really cool. I mean, look and think about how the visuals and the world that they create there. If you get it with this guy doing the cinematography, and Trachtenberg has not steered us wrong yet.
Yeah, that's true. He's two for two. Yeah. So she takes off and she's following. You know, she goes with them to kind of find this guy, and they end up finding the dude, and he's all cut up, and he's got this big. Claw mark. We don't know what it is, right? Like that's kind of the fun part. Is it's either a lion or it's a bear, or it could also be the Predator. Like there's all these different options. We find out that she is but she's really good at medicine. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of her jam. So she fixes the wound, And then gives him this medicine to slow his, to make him cold so he doesn't bleed out. And I was like, that's kind of brilliant. Like, yeah. That's the smart way to do it.
It's a great setup, too. Yeah. Planting the seeds here.
Exactly.
And we see she's supposed to go get more of this orange flower for her mother, who's doing the healing, and she's out of it. So she's supposed to gather that. She was gathering it for her, and then that's why she has it with her.
Right. And so the dudes kind of, they build like a,
cot?
A stretcher. Yeah. So they start taking him back, but then the brother says, I'm going to hunt this thing. And she kind of lays out a plan. She's like, just lead him to you. Like, if you bring the lion to you, then we can do this. You know, they have this whole setup where they're in a tree and the one guy is giving her kind of the guff, and then he gets snatched off that tree by a lion.
Yeah. All the guys are doing the stereotypical, you're a woman, you get back to the gathering.
Right.
You know, they're doing that whole thing. We're the warriors, you know, kind of a more modern thing that we see, but it's like, wow, 200 years ago, they were still doing that.
And I will say, like, my only complaint is when they do the CG animals up close.
Not to make you feel old, but it's like 300 years
ago. Oh, man, that's how it happens when you get older.
Like, up on you.
They don't look the best.
Yeah.
The up close. When they're further away, they look fine. But when you start getting up close.
Some are better than others. The bear was rough.
Yeah. I thought the lion didn't look that great.
The lion, depending on
we should say
shot.
It's a mountain lion. Like, it's not a lion. Yeah. It's a lion. It's like Trachtenberg was smart enough to be like, well, we can't put a lion in the forest.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mountain lion.
But yeah, they were hit or miss. The rabbit looked good.
Yeah, looked good.
The wolf looked really good. Because I think probably there's lots of wolves in movies. They probably borrowed assets, right?
Yeah.
For, like, you know, wolves are in a lot of movies.
Right.
So yeah, it was hit or miss. But you know what? I'm starting to get more used to CG animals because they've not used real animals for so long. And I mean, granted,
did you see Welcome Home Gordy? Do you see what happens?
So that's the thing. They haven't used them in so long that I know it's a little jarring, but they're getting better at it, and now it's like, okay, yeah, that's a CG animal, of course it is, and it kind of just is there.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dog was a real dog until it's doing crazy stuff and fighting lions and all that, but it's a real dog. They adopted for the film and trained it.
Okay.
And in interviews, they said it was tough at certain times because the dog was really energetic and friendly and wanted to play, but yeah, they waited for the dog to hit its marks. And
he was good. The dog was good. Like, I like when really she's good. Walking through, like, the village or the camp, and, like, the dog's just, like, prancing next to her, like, looking back and forth. I was like, oh, it's moving like a real dog. Like, that's
kind of
cool.
And that's really historically accurate. That is the kind of dog that the indigenous people used.
Oh, really?
To hunt.
Okay.
So this movie's very faithful, and the representation of the culture, from my understanding, from reading, is very accurate.
Yeah.
So I appreciate all that.
No, totally.
And it feels authentic.
It does. It does.
You've got the actors. You have the setting. And also, like, the on-location stuff. Now, granted, the on-location is the forest and the woods, but still, they're building the teepees, if you will. They built a lot of practical sets. And I will say another thing I appreciated is the practical sets and the practical effects.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The Predator, the makeup, the practical movement of the face and everything.
You know how I feel about that. So when you see him move, and obviously, you know, for the far away shots, you got to do what you got to do, right? But when
turning
you're
invisible.
Up, when you're up close, and you're punching the thing and you're taking shots at it. I was like, this is
a real
great.
Guy in a costume and makeup. And, and I think that's a testament to the whole, just the craft of this film and how well made it is. And then also look how good this movie is and how much of it is practical. There's a correlation there because you're not getting taken out every 5 minutes going, well, that CG was bad.
Yeah,
that looked
right,
fake. There's
right.
a weight to most of it. The only thing was the animals, like you said.
Do you think that it's not as noticeable because it's not on the big screen?
I don't think so. I think this was so good. Most people are complaining, saying, I can't believe this didn't go on the big
That's
screen.
Kind of, but I'm wondering how much that Shane Black movie damaged the name.
A lot.
Yeah.
Oh, probably, for sure.
Well, and the Adrian Brody one. It was just like, they keep trying to make this a franchise. They've never made a successful sequel.
I think 2 did okay.
Did it?
I think 2 was, but When there's a jump between, when there's no movie between 2 and AVP, like 2 is like 91, 92 maybe?
90.
Okay. So, I mean, and then AVP was not until the 2000s.
But they're all bad.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, they kept, you know, strikeout.
Right.
And so, yeah, of course it's damaged. But my point is, going to your comment, I think this movie is big screen quality.
I agree.
It looks gorgeous. The practical effects are great. I don't think blowing it up, because I still watch on a big 4K TV and I'm watching it. And I think, like most other people on
how
the
big
internet,
is yours?
60 or 70
okay.
inch.
Yeah, same deal.
Yeah, it's big. The special effects and the cinematography and everything felt cinematic. It did not feel TV movie, quote unquote. And again, most stuff made for these big, you know, most do feel cinematic.
Just circling back to Predator 2, it made $30 million domestic on a $30 million budget.
Okay.
Worldwide, it made like 57.
But still,
but that was
that's
not
a win.
It opened number 4 at the box office. Rocky 5 did better.
Which we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
So
ironically, number 1 at the box office was Dances with Wolves.
Oh, really?
Given.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, I was just kind of curious as to if you think, like, because sometimes that'll happen, right? Like, you'll get these, you know, not straight to streaming service, well, straight to streaming service movies that don't exactly look.
Well, they're saying that was the problem with Batgirl. That's the word on the street.
But that was supposed to be a TV show. That was supposed to be a streaming thing first. And they were like, well, maybe we'll throw it in theaters and see what happens. That was the whole point of that movie. It was supposed to be on HBO Max.
Well, no, I know. But that's what I'm saying is the word is that they can't release in theaters because this guy's a theater guy. Okay, well, we'll make money on it, but they're saying it maybe would look, the sets and stuff might look a little TV.
Saw that picture of that guy, whatever that wackadoo in that still was, and I was like, nope, that does not look enticing at all.
But that's the point, is that that's why they're saying tax write-off, because the movie has a $90 million budget,
right,
but they may have to do reshoots, they have to do $10 million in marketing. If it goes to theaters especially, they got to buy all the millions in ad campaigns, they got to split the profits with the theater, so they can just go $90 million write-off and make more than releasing a flop.
That makes sense.
So
I mean,
just,
I don't, you know, these...
Not saying it's right, but
no,
that's
I guess
what the guy's head is.
Where I kind of draw some, I don't know, some what I gotta call kind of bull stuff is when people are saying, like, these people worked so hard on this, they deserve it to be seen, blah blah. I was like, yeah, but they got paid.
They got paid,
and I get that. Like,
I mean, you put
time into it. I understand
that,
but like
when you're an artist, to make art and then not have it seen and appreciated, that's what art. Art is not really anything until people
I don't disagree,
appreciate, judge, critique.
But it's not like they're out of money.
You know,
no, it's not like they did a service and they're like, by the way, you're not going to get paid.
I mean, at the end of the day, they created a product, they provided a service to HBO Max, and then HBO Max decided they did not need that service,
right?
But
they got compensated for it. And
like,
you could put that on your credits.
I get that it's frustrating, but they still get paid,
right?
I mean, that's
you
the
know,
consolation,
if you're on a game show
but...
and they don't air the episode, you don't get the money.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's weird.
Even if you win,
uh huh. Well, if you don't win, you definitely don't get the money.
<That's true. laughs> Well, like, I don't know how those work. Like, do you get paid just to be on the show?
No, like if
they don't pay you anything to even like if you get selected
on...
to play, I thought you got some kind
so,
of daily.
But,
okay,
but if they don't air the episode,
how often does that happen?
I don't think it happens too terribly frequently, but yeah. But if they don't air the episode, you don't get paid.
Dang,
you don't get your money.
It's not like Jeopardy on The Simpsons where Marge owes Jeopardy.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that it's like you know, there's so many artists working and not getting paid. Like
right.
Yeah, but I think I can sympathize as an artist if you work hard on something.
I understand the frustration, but I'm also like. I'm not losing any sleep over it either.
But they were told they were going to make a Batgirl movie
and they did.
HBO, no, that would debut on HBO Max to tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people.
What? Somebody was lied to in the film industry?
Yeah.
Film industry?
I'm just on record. I completely sympathize.
I feel horrible
to think like, it's like the Pixar people, they're paid and their movie even got released on streaming and they told their families we're going to be in a big Pixar theatrical and you know, it's just... It would be a bummer. It would, but at least those got seen. But
yeah, right.
Like
I said,
I get it, but I'm also like I have bigger things to worry about.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So our character, she realizes she sees a track, and she was like, "That's not a bear. Like that's not. There's a giant track." So she gets knocked out. That's right. She gets knocked. She gets up again. That's right. She is in this tree and the whole thing is like they had planned that they would lure the lion back to this spot and they would attack him in this tree. Fortunately, she falls off the tree and knocks herself out. Her brother has to bring her back to camp and then the brother goes back out and takes care of business. Which is a pretty cool scene, right? Like where he's walking
through.
He's
a badass.
He is a badass.
Dakota Beavers.
And what's his name in the movie?
Tabe.
Okay.
or Tabe.
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 Tabe, yeah.
She wakes up and the mom is like,
oh. I was saying it with the English pronunciation for you guys.
Yeah.
You know,
thanks.
Like,
thank you.
Yeah. I just want to keep that consistent.
She wakes up and the mom's like, what are you doing? Like, he had to bring you all the way back and then he had to go back out there. And so she's kind of.
It's tough because she wants to be a warrior. The mom says, why do you want to do this? And she says, because you say I can't.
Right.
And so she wants to prove herself.
Which is a good line. I like that line.
It is a good line. And she's a really good actor. And she goes out there. And what does she do? She gets knocked out. And the brother has to save her.
She gets
her.
Up again.
She does.
You're never going to keep me down.
That's true. Spoilers. You don't.
That's true.
So it's like, yeah, they're kind of proving their point. It's like, I know you want to. But look, you're having to get rescued. It's not going to work out. And she's like, F that.
Yeah. And I think this is a cool scene. I like this scene a lot where the brother brings home the lion. He becomes the war chief, which mm-hmm. I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I do like that there's dissension, but it's never really talked about. There's one dude who's like in the group who I think we see later, who is the one that our main character ends up having a fight with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where he is not happy about it. And he turns around and walks away. And I was like, okay, so we're no dialogue, but we know that this guy is not happy mm-hmm. that the brother did it. The sister decides.
He's got a chip on his shoulder the whole time.
Big time. Yeah. She decides to go off on her own. There's a great scene where, and obviously it's a little on the nose, but I liked it anyway, where she is like all of the women are walking one way and she is starting to walk that way. And she's like, nope. Throws down her little bag, grabs her weapons, and starts walking the opposite, like against traffic, basically. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
symbolism.
It is. And I was like, but it's a good looking, like, you know, where the women, it's shot looking at our main character, and you've got the women walking past her,
who keep
shooting her glances as she's walking away. So she.
Because she knows it's still out there. The main thing is he brings home the lion, and she's like, it's not the lion. There was something
there's
with tracks
something
that were
else.
Not a bear. There's something out there. No, you don't know what you're talking about. So she's like, no, I'm going to go get it.
I'm telling you. Right. That's the thing. Is she's adamant. She's like, I'm going. They touch on a fear of mine that I didn't know that I had anymore was goddamn quicksand, which I thought wasn't a thing. And then she sinks, and I was like, oh, no, like that is a thing? Like, come on. So, which I thought was a great scene.
It is a thing. It just doesn't work like it does in the movies. It's not sand. It's mud, which
is what
they show.
Is here. Yeah.
In movies, it's like, oh, I'm in sand. That doesn't work like that. But
yeah, so she's going through, and I think she finds, does she find the buffalo first? Is that right?
Yeah, it's out there. Yeah.
Okay. So she ends up, she has this axe that she has been sharpening, and she's got it like on a lasso kind of.
We should say too, before that though, I love the way that he plants all these different animals, so we see kind of the food chain and who is the predator and who's the prey.
Yeah.
And you see it keep changing. We see rabbit, we see snake, we see bear, we see wolf, we see lion. I love how you see all these different things attacking each other, and so we're eventually going to get to the top of the food chain.
Yes, we are.
And I just think there's really good symbolism with all the animals attacking each other and how that evolves to predator and human.
And I do like that they don't shy away from the gore or the violence. Like, it is front and center when it gets there, and it takes a while to get there, but when it does, and I also like that they keep with the theme of the predator where he's just collecting skulls. Mm-hmm. Right. So you see he takes a snake and he cuts the snake
because he doesn't know what the biggest foe will be yet.
Right.
He's collecting them to bring home the skull of the worthy adversary is.
Yeah.
So we get
a snake skull. We get a wolf skull. We get a bear. That bear fight was cool. Like, that was a cool fight, you know.
So I've heard.
Well, the bear fight happens in the day.
That's the weird
part. It's
not
when
it's
the bear
not nighttime.
Fight
He's fighting them in the daytime.
I think a bear maybe is walking around at night at one point, but they're
maybe
in a stream.
It was different when the bear was stalking.
Yeah,
because
they're in the stream in the daytime. So if you didn't see that, you really got
something wrong. But he's collecting. Yeah, you're right. His skulls are getting bigger and bigger.
I like how he uses acid spray or whatever to melt down everything around it, so he's left with the skull.
Is that what
it's
he
a
was
cool
doing?
Effect.
Yeah. Okay,
he's melting down the skin and blood and everything, and it's just a skull. It's cool.
But I was thinking of like what he was. So that's not. I was thinking of how he did it in the first movie, because we see him do it, right? Like, we see him cleaning the skull of like Shane Black or something, and I've just felt like he was just like boiling them.
Well, yeah, but whatever he did in this one, it was just a cool,
that was cool.
I think it is different, but it's cool. Yeah.
So she falls into the quicksand. God dang it. What it is, I blame The NeverEnding Story. Like, that's really
that's
what it is.
Traumatized
like,
you
flipping
what was
horse.
That horse's name
Treyu?
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. Oh, God. That was gut wrenching.
But this shows you, too, how she is kind of ill prepared. She almost got herself killed.
She
by
is,
quicksand.
But she's also resourceful.
Of course.
Right? Like, it's she is ill prepared, but she's also, you know, she uses this little axe with a rope on it, ends up pulling herself out. She finds.
Yeah, that's the thing. She can't get any animals. She keeps missing them. She misses. In the beginning, the huge deer.
Yeah.
She misses all these little rabbits. She keeps trying to throw the axe, and she's great at throwing an axe, but she's missing, she can't get it.
She can't shoot an arrow for shit.
But she can't. She has to go recover the axe, but then she finds out, put it on a rope, and then she can pull it back.
Right.
And so then the next scene, she's walking away with four rabbits over her
shoulder. It's the thing, right? She has a problem. Mm-hmm. She figures it out.
Exactly.
So she... she goes into this clearing and she sees all of these buffalo, these skinned buffalo. And of course, I'm thinking, of course, it's the predator. Like, he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
But then she finds a cigar. Yeah, and initially, I was like, Dutch smokes cigars.
Predator loves cigars. No.
Dutch smokes cigars. Yeah. Like, what do we do? Like, is it like an Easter egg? Like, is it like, you know, a little thing? Because that's Dutch was smoking cigars the entire time in that movie, right?
But if you're looking 1719,
right.
A bear trap.
What
are
we
doing?
There's
a cigar next to buffalo that are being wasted. Like, the indigenous people didn't waste anything.
No.
They used the bones, they used the pelt, and they would just only kill what they needed.
Right.
There's a whole field, the whole herd of buffalo.
Just carcasses.
Is just skinned.
Yeah.
And left to waste.
Right. The meat is all there. And so she is trying to figure this out. And then is this where she's kind of captured by the other men from the tribe where they're like, we're bringing you back?
Yeah, it happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they bring her back and they're fighting her. And this is where we get an idea of like what she can do. Cause we haven't really seen what she can do in a fight. Right. So the men of this tribe, the one that like turns his back on her brother gets a little handsy, puts his hands on her a little bit, kind of attacks her, and she beats the bejesus out of him in a pretty great
wrestling move. She has a headlock.
She does.
At one point.
Great. Like, I was watching it the whole time. I was like, oh, so that's a little arm bar. Like that's all right. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
She's a badass. She's awesome.
Yes, she's great. And I do like that she punches him in the mouth and he was like, forget it. Like, you know, everybody, he doesn't want anything else to do with this gal. And then this is where the predator attacks them because he views them as a threat.
Yeah.
And he goes after all of them.
Starts picking them off.
And in the first predator, there's kind of like hints at violence, right? Like see when they kill the Native American guy off screen, they kill Duke off screen. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you see the muck come up from the back of Duke's head. Shane Black is off screen. Carl Weathers is kind of off screen. You see his arm fall
off.
But
in this one, the fights and the gore, it's there.
It's there.
They're chopping heads and they're skinning and pulling their head out of their spinal column.
Yeah, ripping legs off.
There's some really good kills and really good, especially when we get to the French part.
Yeah.
Predator versus French.
When we get there and I saw like the village of French people, I was like, oh man, this is going to be like,
oh, that's collateral.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We need a bunch of people that he can kill that we don't care about.
Have I got some people for you?
Let me introduce you to the French.
So that's how they get away. If it were colonists and future Americans, see, we'd be like, oh, you can't take out the Americans.
Right, yeah.
It's like, those that.
Those colonists were just fine people when they...
But these are the French.
Yeah, right. And yeah, when I saw all of the folks, I'm like, you're all going to die. Yeah, well, this is... It's like the...
La Morte.
That's right. It's the jaws in the water is what that is. Like, it's just... It's a feeding frenzy. So she ends up getting hit in the face by she gets knocked out again, and I was like,
but she
man
gets up again.
Again, but the amount of head trauma that this gal has taken in the last 24 hours, I was like, man, she is concussed AF. She wakes up in this French, like, what would you call it,
camp
I guess,
encampment.
Encampment. And she's not really sure what's going on. The French are like, look, we know something is out there and we need your help to tell us where it is. And she was like, no, I'm not doing that. And they end up pulling her brother out of another cage. And they were like, you're going to do this for us. And they end up like cutting his chest open. And I thought they were going to slit his throat as bait.
Yeah, it was for the blood. They were trying to lure him like a bear would. Because they don't know what's out there,
no
animal or whatever. So the blood is like, you know, how the bear was sniffing around.
Which is, I mean, that is the first like homage to the first one. Because in the first one, the Native American guy
is standing on, when he tells Dutch to take the girl, like, go, I'll stay back and fight. What he does with his knife is he cuts his chest open.
Oh, there you go.
And that's like I was like, all right, right on. Like, that's, I appreciate not hitting you over the head with it, but okay.
Oh, there's some nice homage in this movie. Well, that's the thing. I think when you get a director like Dan Trachtenberg, who is this good of a filmmaker, again, we saw it in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
He's going to make subtle choices and he's not going to hit you over the head with stuff. That's the difference between the subtlety of a great filmmaker and someone that's just hired that does an okay job, you know, sure. It's in focus, but you know, oh, let's put homage, let's put Easter egg, let's put whatever, you know, let's put all this fan service in.
Yeah.
This is subtle and it works.
Yes. And it works really well. They're in the woods and this is the second homage. And this is actually, these are the only two where they're back to back up against this tree and
so the predator starts picking off Frenchmen. And then they like pop out of their traps attack him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he starts just slaughtering the French and the two main characters are able to untie themselves.
But what she says is like, look, don't move. Like, he didn't attack me when we were at the other thing because he doesn't view us as a threat.
He's
like,
she got in a bear trap.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
It walked up and saw her on the chain and realized that she was
not a threat.
She was the prey.
Yeah.
It only attacks predators. That's the thing. He's a predator. He wants to take on the biggest, baddest predator from Earth, and prey is of no interest to him. A warrior. He's not a hunter. He's actually a warrior. Trying to find the adversary.
Exactly. So she says, like, don't move. Like, it doesn't view us as anything. Like, let it do its thing first, and then we'll do our thing. And he says, if it bleeds, we can kill it, which is which is a line from the first movie. I was like, yeah, all right. It's the equivalent of like that three notes of the Rocky
theme.
I was
thinking the exact same thing in Creed. And I loved his line delivery on it because he didn't like wink at the camera or make it a bigger line than it was. Like, he's just like, he's arrived at the same conclusion.
Right.
If it can bleed, you can. And it also logically makes sense that, like, well, it's bleeding, so like
we can do more damage.
We've done damage, so we can do more damage.
Right.
So let's go do it.
Fan service should be under delivered. Yeah. Otherwise it looks like a wink.
That's
right?
Exactly it. Yeah.
You just say it. You're right, what do they call that? Like, it's the same thought process. So yeah, you're just gonna be stating the same fact, but without the same cadence. If you say the same inflection and cadence, then that character knows.
It's not like they didn't do the handshake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they didn't do that.
Naru, you son of a bitch.
It reminds me of in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where he says, like, your hair never falls in quite the same way. Like, he's doing that line from Story of a Girl.
Uh-huh.
But he had never heard the song. And so...
So he's just saying
so
it.
So they didn't tell him it was a song. Because,
oh, really?
Because they wanted him to say... They didn't want him to mimic the cadence of the line.
That's pretty great.
Which is why it hits you weird, because he doesn't say it in that rhythm.
You're talking about Kihi Kwan.
Yeah. And so it kind of reminded me of that. Like, I almost wondered, like, did this guy never see the first movie? And it's just a line to him.
It's interesting. It's kind of awesome to see how people interpret things that they don't know are based on pre-existing writing or properties or whatever, because then it's like, how do you take this line or whatever it is, this situation, and interpret what's your interpretation?
Yeah.
And not of this is a quote or this is a remake of a scene or whatnot. It's like, yeah, how do you take this concept and apply it to your acting, apply it to the scene? So
don't tell them it was from something else.
Yeah.
And let them do their thing. So yeah, this scene is bonkers. Like, it's straight up Predator. Like, we can see the Predator, and I will, like, it's a little bit different. Like, the camouflage is also a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But he is tearing through all of the French folks. Like, it does not matter. He is gutting them and pulling their arms off, and like, he just doing, you know, we get to see the shield for the first time where he decapitates a guy. It's great.
Yeah,
like,
it's
this
great
is this, what I, and what I mean by this is kind, it's a soft remake of the original one, is this is how the original one builds up, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's Dutch and his crew in the jungle trying
it's
to...
a very similar premise. Like,
yes,
group of people in the wild going mono to mono.
You've got one main character. And I guess, you know, Carl Weathers is kind of the other main character, but...
And the brother is here too, kind of.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Carl Weathers is kind of the bad guy as well.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers for 1987's Predator.
Well, they hide the Predator too, which is really good. They do the thing similar to Jaws, similar... You don't see the Predator except for a distance. They don't show you the whole non-camouflage Predator. You don't see the face until the mask
comes
off.
You there's, one ugly son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah, he takes the skull thing comes off at some point. She takes.
Well, I think she does damage to it or something.
Well, that's
she takes
the end,
it.
Oh, but yeah, he, yeah, we yeah. do see it off maybe when he's fighting the French or something. It comes off at some point. You see it. And then he puts it back on.
Yeah. The best, to me, it's when he kills the bear and he guts the bear and like holds it over his head.
And the blood.
And like you see like him, how yeah. big he is. And I was like,
that's a really cool reveal to the camouflage is he's shown because the blood.
Right.
The bear's blood.
The bear, yeah, he gutted a bear.
I mean, he just like slams that bear. The bear's actually getting some licks in. You see some green blood. And then he's just like, nope, good
you
night.
You know, one of the cool things that I thought was when that wolf attacks him yeah. and the wolf bites his leg.
Yeah.
And you see like the green blood on the wolf's teeth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a nice little touch. Like, of course, you know, normally I wouldn't even think anything of it, but because the predator has a different color blood, yeah. like just the,
it's to show damage.
Yeah.
You and I was see like, the green blood wherever cool. there's damage. Yeah, yeah. And we're so used to seeing red blood and whatnot. So it is cool that you see it on different weapons that damage him, mm-hmm. the animal's teeth and the mouth or it's neat that they showed some damage because this predator, although he's really good, he's still out there doing his test too.
Right.
So, and that's again running parallel to Naru's test is she's out there trying to get her kill and come back to her tribe. He's getting dropped off by his predator. I can't remember the real name of their species, but
predators.
The predators. Yeah. He's getting dropped off to get his kill and bring
the
skill
back. Have they ever said their real name? Mm-hmm. Is
yeah.
there a real name?
There no. is. Yeah.
There's a lot of comic books too. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever go to like,
oh yeah, there's
like,
so many.
Good Lord. Marvel now has the rights because, you know,
they own
merger,
everything.
Right?
Yeah. Predator is known as a Yata or a Hishkuten.
God bless you.
Yes. Well, and this is on Disney Plus in the international market.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's on something called I think Star Plus in Latin America.
Okay.
And then Hulu in America, and then Disney Plus everywhere else.
It's only a matter of time, right? You got to think they're going to merge those.
There's not
two
much
at some
use
point,
of Hulu, especially right? now that they've got passwords for rated R stuff on.
Just throw
Disney.
It on there.
Yeah.
I mean,
they will eventually.
Hell, if Discovery and HBO can merge together, you know?
It's just, but Hulu still has a lot of other channel stuff, so they make money from, it's not just Fox, it's all the other ABC. And,
that makes
know.
Sense. So yeah, so there's, they finally, they get back to the village, or the, not the village, but the,
French
the,
camp?
The French encampment, and they, it's the same plot, right? It's the same, she's, the brother ends up saying, he's like, your plan was right about that lion. He's like, it did exactly what you said it would do, and that's how I got it.
Yeah.
So let's do it again. And they set up the predator in here, and there's a great, like, this is another great fight between, you know, it's one thing when it's Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny Glover fighting.
Yeah.
Because at that point, Schwarzenegger is like
big and bulky.
He's huge, and he's fighting this thing, and you're like, okay, this makes sense. He, you know, the yeah. scene where he's bending the bow is like, yeah. all right, we just need a scene so we can get Arnold to flex. And, like, yeah. that's the, you know.
But Tabe is riding horseback, jumping off the horse to.
Yeah, he's
to
doing. He's much
him.
Smaller. And and what's the sister's name?
Naru.
Naru is like, you know, she's sliding. She's using her.
She slides
speed,
a lot.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. I think it's, and I will say that one of my complaints always is the fight choreography. It's choppy, and in this one, it is a little choppy, but they pull back enough, and I feel like she's not experienced enough as a character that she wouldn't be as smooth. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like having it be a little choppy, but letting her do her thing and seeing all of her movements and jumping on the predator's back and yeah. like doing everything.
I thought
was
the
pretty
fight
great.
Choreography was really good.
I agree.
I didn't once go like, oh, it's quick cut choppy motion. Like I thought it was really good action.
No, I agree. Yeah. And I especially
the horseback stuff going, jumping off the horses and fighting like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the brother ends up, we realize that this is not going to go well. Like the predator is just kind of chopping his way through everybody, and the brother decides, he's like, you got to go, like you got to get back to the village, this is my final stand, I'm not.
Well, they had him dead to rights, but then he turns on his invisibility,
right, and then he was gone,
and then you don't know where he is, and yeah. he shows up, and the brother basically before says, like, this is your test, bring him back,
right?
And so the predator shows up and
guts the brother from behind, and it's a cool visual, right? Because yeah. the predator does still have those giant Wolverine claws,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, right through his chest, right, like lifts him up,
yeah, yeah, and then basically she fights him off, and she is smart.
He's
she
able,
outsmarts
he's
him.
Able to stab him or something, so she can get away, because he tells her to run.
Oh, that's right, because
with his
the
last
predator,
strength,
the predator
he takes
turns
a
around,
dagger or something.
No, it's the wolf's head. He grabs that wolf's head off of the predator and like shoves
okay,
it into
yeah.
his leg or whatever. So she doesn't
gets away and does her trap thing.
Yes, she sets the whole very much like the first one, where she sets up the traps and she does, you know, Predator comes into the village and she is this where she jumps off the.
Well, she meets the language, the French interpreter guy.
Oh, right.
Back at the village, and he says, "Save me! I'll give you this gun and show you how to use it if you save me." His leg has been chopped off by the Predator. She uses that medicine on him, and so his blood. This is where she realizes that he doesn't see the French guy.
Right.
She's like, "It doesn't see him. He's on the ground playing dead." And the Predator, like the ones in the other movies, use heat signatures.
Yeah.
And we see from the POV, the Predator POV, that there's no heat signature on him,
mm-hmm.
except for the Predator steps on him and he makes a noise. And then the Predator kills him.
He's like, but, oh, you sneaky, sneaky.
But she gets the idea to use the herb on herself so that she has stealth camouflage like him. But he also gives her this gun. And you know the significance of that gun?
No.
That is the gun in Predator 2 that the Predators hand Danny Glover.
Oh, that's pretty great.
That's the gun.
I knew it had to mean something, right? When
Origin story.
When they show the name, and I was like, well, I can't even see the name. But
yeah, Raphael, whatever.
That's, okay.
That is the exact gun that the Predators give as a reward,
as a reward
to Danny Glover. So now we have an origin story that it came from this guy. Somehow it's going
to
end up.
But wait a minute. How does it get back to the Predator?
No, we don't. I mean, there's going to be, you know, there's 300 years. There's more to come. But the point is, though, we have an origin story of where that gun came from, which is really cool.
That's fun. That's fun. So, yeah, she ends up fighting the Predator here. And it's like she's, like I said, she's jumping off like tree branches. Mm-hmm. And she's doing like it's a pretty great fight. And
she takes the gun and she blows his tracking mask off.
That's what it was.
And then sets it up.
And she grabs the mask and then she sets up this whole thing and. Then we go back to the quicksand.
She catches him in the quicksand, and then the targeting thing is on the Predator.
She sets up the mask.
Yeah.
In, like, woods, so he doesn't see it, right?
Yeah, it's just aimed at him, but it's hidden. But she ends up, the Predator comes in, she jumps off the tree, starts knifing him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he throws her off or whatever, and then he gets stuck in the quicksand.
Right.
And then you see the targeting lights go on him.
Yes.
And he goes to shoot his arrows at her without the targeting, not knowing the targeting is on.
Right.
And then it goes to him.
Blows his brains out.
So they circle back around and get him.
Right. And I was like, all right, that's pretty slick. That's
cool.
Pretty good.
She outsmarted him.
She outsmarted him, that's right. So we end up seeing her walking back to the village holding the head of the Predator. And now instead of it being like soot or, you know, like black paint on her face, she's painted her face with the blood of the Predator.
I was it was cool.
That was
the green.
Dope visual. Yeah. Like that was pretty cool.
So she's the war chief.
Now she is the war chief and she kicks the head to the chief of the tribe. And
he does the ritual.
That's how this one ends. Like this is a pretty, it's crazy that it took this long to get a good sequel, like a legit, not like, hey, this is a pretty fun movie.
Great.
Like this is like, this is,
yeah, it was really well done.
This is really well done. And I hope Trachtenberg gets more stuff. That's not like Waterworld, you know, like 10 Cloverfield Lane is
Waterworld was an interesting concept.
All I think of Dana Carvey as Ross Perot describing Waterworld. Like that's what I think of every time.
I think that in the right hands, it could be salvageable.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But look what he did with Predator. Those movies were bad, and he took the concept of Predator and made an awesome one.
Yeah.
And Waterworld's a good concept, so even if the execution wasn't all there, the world building, again, like the way he did with On Location and all the indigenous people, the real sets that were built and how he stayed true to that, if he can build a world that's this post-apocalyptic crazy world and make it feel lived in and real.
Yeah.
You know, I think he can do it. And
probably.
And it's not like that's going to be his last thing. I mean, that's a series, but I'm sure with the success of these two films, he probably can do.
It's funny, on that podcast, the two hosts were kind of like throwing ideas, you know, like what if it was Schwarzenegger? What if, you know, what if they bring Dutch back? And I think there's something else in the works with him, with this franchise, because he was like,
Oh, 10 like, Predator Lane.
Yeah, 10 Predator Lane. That's exactly it. But like they would throw out these different ideas for bringing Dutch back.
Well, you watch the end credits, right?
I watched all the way through. Yeah, why?
Okay. Well, there's the teasers in the credits.
What do you mean?
Well, so at the end of the movie.
Oh, then no, I didn't. I was like, I looked at
the
like bar.
I scrolled to see.
I was looking for something.
You have to actually watch the credits.
It
wasn't that long. It was the graphic credits. They the end of the movie has visual credits that roll, and they actually hired a real Native American artist to draw in the style of cave paintings, and it retold the story like a lot of credits do, but it was retelling the story of this movie in cave paintings. And at the very end, you see three Predator ships show up.
Oh, really?
So leading to, oh, they're coming back to either, you know, see what happened to their guy or come fight. Three of them are going to take, you know, but I mean.
Sure, sure.
I'm not saying that's for sure, but it is alluded to.
Well,
that they are
and what I'm saying is, like, they were throwing out ideas of Dutch coming back and, sure. you know, because that was the deal at the end of the Shane Black one.
Yeah.
Is that when that pod opened, it was supposed to be Dutch in yeah. the pod. And of course, it was like the weird body suit or something. Yeah.
I don't think Schwarzenegger come back at this point.
Why wouldn't he? Comes back for the Terminator. What was the last one we just did? They just did one.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago.
Still,
they just
okay,
did
so
one.
He could still. He's. I mean, he, that dude came back to that franchise every single time.
I'm just
except
saying,
for the one.
At some point, he's getting.
All
up
I'm saying
there.
Is,
I just,
Trachtenberg. Yeah, Dark Fate was 2019.
Yeah, okay,
that's not that long ago.
Trachtenberg shut up real quick when they were mentioning like bringing him back, and he was like, he was just like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
I don't know,
I'm
man,
sure he can't
know,
say yeah. anything until it's. Set
right,
you know.
Right. But I just think it's interesting that yeah. they mentioned it and he got real quiet real yeah. fast.
We'll see. I don't know, man. How long can these old action heroes do it? I just don't know.
As long as they want, because yeah. they're just like, just give me a CGI stunt double. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John Wayne was making action movies in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
Like his right. last movie was what, 78?
No,
75. When did The Shootist come out?
I thought it was 75. If it's 78, that's crazy. That's the same year that Halloween came out.
76.
Okay. Still, so, that's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, he was in it with Ron Howard.
And he was sick at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I mean, because that's, it's because his, spoiler, his character dies
right.
in the film. And it's one of the few where John Wayne dies.
Actually like, dies.
Yeah, his character doesn't die all that frequently.
No. It was John Wayne. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is, Trachtenberg has scored another home run, as far as I'm concerned. Like, this was great. Give me some more Predator in this world. Hey, just give me Predator in general. I like those movies.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of it skipping through time and landing in different backgrounds.
Yeah,
you know, historical
yeah.
backgrounds.
Yeah, especially when they're just like, wait a minute, these.
Yeah,
podunk.
Like I like this movie a lot. I don't want to see him fight
in modern times.
Fight these people again.
Yeah. Let me see him fight somebody in World War II.
I want to see him fight Vikings. Fight.
Yeah, like
they should
I mean?
Have him travel throughout trying to find. And but it just has to be before this because these are the formidable adversaries, right? So you got to go back in time and fight
well,
older.
But to me, it's like they have to have a reason to come back, right? So if they,
oh,
if,
right,
if,
this is the
if,
first time.
If
right.
they,
well,
if
no, but
if they've
is,
been defeated here, they're like, okay, yeah. maybe there's something on this planet.
That's
that,
true.
But then they keep coming back and they keep dying. Like maybe at one point, like, I don't want to go there anymore. Like, they keep killing us.
It's their Everest. How many people died
I
trying
guess
to
that's
scale
true.
Everest?
That's a good,
it doesn't
that's
stop
a good,
other
that's
people
a good
from
call.
Trying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's exactly what it is and why they keep coming to Earth. Like I was saying earlier, for yeah. the modern time people, it's that they've got to win. They're going
right.
to keep coming.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want. I don't want to see a 2022 version of this. Yeah. Well, we did, but it was not good.
Yeah.
Because there's just we're so technologically advanced at this point. It's just like, we'll just shoot them with a drone.
I really like the idea of have the Vikings with their swords and shields and
cool.
axes. Like, have different
yeah.
cultures. Different.
Just keep coming to America, because apparently
Knights?
That's the only place that the Predators can land is America.
Well, no. What, they weren't in America in the first one,
I
right?
guess that's true.
They were in, what, Costa Rica?
Costa Rica
something?
Or something, yeah, the jungle.
Were they really? I remembered that.
Well, it was the jungle.
Okay.
You know,
I was just
I
like,
know.
I don't, honestly don't think I've seen the first Predator movie since it came out.
It's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
I was
movie.
Just like, okay, that's fine. I just... You know,
Jurassic
that's the
Park
one,
Predator crossover.
That's the one that Van Damme was in. Van Damme was the original Predator, and he couldn't like move in the suit like they wanted him to, and he kept overheating, and they were just like, never mind.
That's right.
Never mind the guy who would be one of the biggest action stars
yeah.
of the 80s
I forgot
and early 90s.
He was the Predator.
Go look up go look up if you can find it. I'm sure you can. There was the original Predator costume, and it is. Awful. It's very different and it's awful. And they brought in Stan Winston and he fixed it.
We should say this guy, Dane DeLegiero, was
that's the
predator.
So the one I was Derek Mears, I think, was the Predator in the Shane Black one. And he was the guy that played Jason Voorhees in one of the newer ones. Like, he was just a massive man.
Yeah, this guy's got some size to him. You can tell. Look at here, look at the interview, the picture of the interview with him. You
got oh,
on
my
the left.
Gosh.
You can tell who the Predator is in this picture. He's just towering over them.
But yeah, this is great. Go check it. It's on Hulu. You're not paying anything for it. It's a 2 hour 45.
Yeah, like hour, I think it was hour 39.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally worth your time.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go on the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, all that stuff. And also don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and it helps us out. We greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the creature deems Dutch a worthy opponent.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.